So we've been talking about principles also. We talked about weapons of our spiritual warfare. Now we're talking about principles of spiritual warfare. And I talked about the first thing was consistency. We must be consistent. You know, if you want to be a person of authority and power, you must be consistent in your habits, consistent in your serving God, consistent in what you say, consistent in, you know, what you're doing in your life every day. You know, you can't be serving God faithfully one day, another week, you know, you're kind of, you know, doing something else. And so we need to be consistent. And last week I spoke about, any of you remember? Last week? What? Amen to the youth. Amen. Perseverance. Perseverance. It's so important for us to learn to persevere in whatever we do. What, you know, whatever God has given, dropped into our heart, whatever the plans of God are for us, we must persevere in those plans without giving up. Through the pain, through the hardship. Because Christian life is not only about, you know, enjoying the roses. Remember, you know, the roses have got thorns as well. And so we pursue God in spite of the pain sometimes, in spite of the tribulations. Okay, and we saw that was a mark also of Paul's life. Paul, when he said, remember the way I lived before you. And one of the things that he highlighted was perseverance. And so this morning I want to talk about something that's, again, so important, and I call it discernment. Everybody say discernment. You know, if you want to be successful in spiritual warfare, you must understand discernment. What is discernment? What is discernment? Because it's quite a big word, isn't it? Discernment simply means the ability to decide between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and error. Can you give me a little bit more volume and just don't touch it anymore? Amen. Amen. All right, that's better. You know, and so it's very important for us to understand that it's important for us to have the ability to decide between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. The book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 14. We'll ask Junior to put it up. Hebrews 5:14, it says, maybe if you can just put that up. All right. Hebrews 5:14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And the NIV uses the word mature. Solid food belongs to those who are mature, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those who are mature are able to discern properly between good and evil. Those who are mature are able to discern. In fact, the NIV says it this way, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves. So we need to train ourselves to distinguish or discern good from evil. So, you know, in order for us to become more mature, we must train ourselves about discernment, how to discern between good and evil. You know, God knows the amount of relationships that have been shipwrecked because a woman, this young girl sees a man or a young boy who looks handsome, falls in love with him, and realizes later that this guy was the wrong guy for her. A young man falls in love with a young lady. She looks nice, says all the right things, but he finds out later she's really, you know, and their marriage struggles. And so we must learn or train ourselves to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and error. You know, we don't just accept anything at face value. You don't just listen to anyone preaching and say amen to everything that they say. You know, the Bereans in Acts 17, it says that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. But they studied the word of God for themselves to check what Paul was saying was true. So whatever Paul was saying, they studied the scriptures. They compared what was happening against the truth of the word of God. And so for us as Christians, we must compare whatever we face in life before we make a decision, run it through the word of God. Run it through what the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart. Amen. The anointing that is in your heart can guide you into truth. And so it should give you a warning signal when something that is preached or being taught is wrong. Amen. Amen, everyone. And so we don't just take whatever said and we just run with it. Let's be people of discernment. Amen. So this verse says that we should train ourselves. We should actually train ourselves. That's what the NIV says. Now in Adam and Eve's case, in the book of Genesis 3, verse 1 to 7, if we could just turn quickly, I'll just read it straight off. Maybe Junior can put it up. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7. All right. It says, "Now the serpent or the snake was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the snake or the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" So the devil actually came, the devil used the snake, coming to the lady, to Eve, and said, surely you can eat all the trees, all the fruit from all the trees. And so the woman says, God said, you may eat all the fruit of all the trees, but the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it, otherwise you will die. What else does the devil say? Then the devil says this in verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. You know, what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to twist the word of God. But you know what the devil does? He uses truth along with error. I call it half-truth. You know, sometimes whenever I pray, I'll say, Lord, protect me from untruths and half-truths. And I think half-truths are very dangerous because it's mixed with a bit of truth so that when lies come with it, you accept it because truth came first. It sounds good because there's a bit of truth. And so we need to be careful what is coming to us. We need to discern it correctly. Amen, everyone. And so the devil is trying to deceive Eve. And he say, you will not surely die. But God knows, you know, in my own words, this is what he says. But God knows, when you eat it, you will be like God. That's what he says. God knows that when you eat it, you will become like God. And so the woman looks at the tree, and then she says, then she thinks to herself, surely it looks good. It is good to make her wise. And she takes it and she eats it and gives it to Adam and he eats it. She's deceived because she did not discern what she heard and what she saw. Let me tell you this. Whatever you see, whatever looks good is not necessarily good. Whatever you hear, even if it sounds good, is not necessarily good. Just because it sounds good, looks good, doesn't mean it's good. In my book, if God says it's good, then it's good. We have to be careful in these last days. You know why? There's a lot of teachings going around. A lot of things coming around. And you need to know the Word of God. You need to know it. You need to spend time in the Word of God. There's a balance of the Word. You must balance the Word of God. Do not be deceived by error, especially when it's mixed with truth. When truth comes, you accept it, and then lies follow the truth. So you must be careful with what you're receiving, and you must discern it correctly. Amen. They fall because there's another problem. She doesn't just fail to discern what the devil is saying through the snake, but she fails to discern what is happening in her heart. Discernment is not just about trying to discern, you know, whether what somebody is saying is true or not, whether what we are seeing or what we are hearing is correct or not. We must also discern what is happening in our hearts. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, from the heart flows the issues of life. It is so important that we discern correctly our hearts. What is in our heart? And in Eve's heart, there was pride in her heart. She was starting to see, this fruit is enough to make me wise. And the devil told her, you'll be like God. There was pride in her heart, but she did not discern it. And you know, sometimes we can have anger, we can have jealousy, envy, and we sort of go through life having these things. We are quick to discern other people, you know, how they behave and everything else, when we need to first look at our hearts. Amen? What is in our hearts is important. You know why? Because what is in the heart will eventually, you know, determine our behavior. Amen, everyone.
Very quiet.
1 John chapter 4 verse 1. If Junior can put it up. This is what he says. Maybe we can read it together, right? Okay, let's everybody read it together. Can you see the board? See the... Okay. Everybody, 2, 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Amen. Stop there. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test what you are hearing. Test what you are seeing. Test what is going on in your hearts. It's so important. Because sometimes pride comes in and we don't even realize. And that is why from time to time we must take a stock take. Take a stock take before the Lord. You know, God, what is happening in my heart? God, when the brother gets promoted, when the brother's business is doing well, am I jealous in my heart or do I rejoice? Am I envious of another brother or another sister? When I see the sister is dressed so well, good clothes, good shoes, do I get jealous? You know, am I envious? You know, when that brother is, driving a new car into the church parking lot, woo! Do I get jealous of that car? Or? No, no, no. See, so we always have to check our hearts. Amen? What is my heart saying? You know, this happened to me. Because at one time, before I got a car, I was praying, Lord, give me a car, give me a car. You know, and I was doing some audit for this school. I was doing audit. You know, I was checking their books and all that, working faithfully. Then one day, to my surprise, Andrew Taylor, the founder, used to have this Pajero. You know, nice looking Pajero. One day, to my surprise, after he had left, I saw another pastor, a local pastor, driving his Pajero. And I was jealous, honestly. I was saying to myself, man, here I am sweating away, doing the audit for Andrew Taylor, and he gives his car to some other pastor, not to me. One day I was praying, and the Holy Spirit put a finger on my heart. Jealousy. And then he reminded me, why are you jealous? You don't even have a license. Man, I tell you something, I was so ashamed before the Lord. I was so ashamed. Sometimes, you know, we don't realize we can fight a spiritual battle when the issue is not about something external out there. The issue really is what's happening in the heart. And many times it's the heart that's the hardest to overcome. The heart is the hardest to overcome. And so let's be people of discernment so that we're always not just judging people, looking at things, getting jealous. Let's look at our hearts. Amen? Samson, from Judges 13 to 16, we actually don't have time to look at that. But Samson was a powerful man of God. He was so powerful that when the anointing of strength came upon Samson, he could lift two gates. And these are heavy, brick, concrete, mud, heavy concrete or whatever gates of the enemy. He could lift both gates up and carry it with him. He was so strong, so powerful. But the secret of his strength was that he was a Nazarite. The secret of his strength was that his hair was never cut. He was a Nazarite. If you know about a Nazarite takes a vow. In that vow, they will live a certain lifestyle. So Nazarite normally doesn't drink wine, doesn't even eat the fruit of the grapes, doesn't eat grapes, don't cut their hair. You know, Nazarite lives a very holy, pure life. Very holy. But a Nazarite's vow can be for a lifetime, even for a term only. But for Samson, he was very special because while he was in his mother's womb, he was called out to be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. The angel of the Lord appeared to Samson's parents and told Samson's parents that he'll be a Nazarite from the womb. So he was a very special child growing up, very special man, young man. And being a holy man, you'd think that he would follow the laws of Moses. He would only get married to another Jew. But instead of that, his eyes went towards a woman who was of the enemy nation, the Philistines. And so he really wanted this woman. So the parents advised him against him and, you know, against it and said, no, don't take this woman. She's of the Philistines. He said, I want that woman. Bring it to me. In fact, the Bible says this thing was of God. I was amazed. I said, you know, Lord, you know, why? Because God wanted to stir up Samson against the Philistines. And so this woman marries with Samson. And later on, this woman leaves Samson. The father gives his wife to another man, to another Philistine. Samson gets upset. He kills, massacres hundreds of Philistines. It's all part of God's plan because the Philistines are the enemies of the Jews. But after that, you know, there's a saying, once bitten, twice shy. You know, once bitten, twice shy. Have you heard of that? You know, if you get hurt from a certain person, you be careful about going to the same person, right? If you get hurt from a certain deal, you know, if you enter a business deal with someone and that person betrays you, you'd be careful going into another business deal with the same person. Samson is already hurt from his previous marriage to a Philistine woman. He marries, but in this sense, he actually goes after another Philistine woman called Delilah. I have no idea why he does that, but the Bible tells us he goes after her. He loves her. He pursues her. This Philistine woman is an evil woman because she is used by the Philistine rulers to find out what is Samson's secret so that we can defeat Samson. So she comes to Samson and she feeds him and she makes him happy. And then she asks him, Samson, please tell me your secret. Samson says, okay, if you get some brand new ropes and you tie me, I will lose my strength. So while Samson is sleeping, she comes and ties him up with his brand new ropes. And then she calls the Philistine guards. And then she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Samson opens his eyes and this woman thinks Samson is defeated. Samson breaks those ropes like it was nothing. And the you know, he comes against the Philistine. They get more angry, so the woman is under pressure. Finally, one day after trying so many times, Samson bluffs her, lies to her. Until one day, she starts crying. Samson, you don't love me anymore. You know, Samson fails to discern what this woman is trying to do. I think he knows, but he still, you know, still pursues her. Samson, you don't love me anymore. Samson, you don't love me anymore. Until one day Samson gives up. You know, for the young girls, be careful of these young men. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. You know, the man asks you, do you love me? And the girl says, yes, I love you. Well, prove it. Samson, you don't love me. I love you. Well, you haven't told me your secret. Finally, Samson tells her everything. If you cut my hair, I will lose my strength. She realizes now Samson has told everything. She waits for Samson to fall asleep and shaves off his hair. Once his hair is shaven, she calls the guards. And the guards arrive and she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Philistines! Samson opens his eyes and he thinks to himself, I'm going to get up just like I did before. But he gets up, the Philistines jump onto him. He tries to shake them off, but he's lost the anointing of strength. He tries to maneuver. There's no more strength. There's no more anointing flowing in his body because he's broken that covenant with God. He has not truly discerned correctly and he made a wrong choice. Be careful how you discern things because your choices come out of your discernment. If you discern correctly, you'll make proper choices. If you discern wrongly, your choices will be messed up. So Samson is now dragged out to the Philistine camp. Then they tell us they pull out his eyes. Blindness speaks of a loss of vision. Loss of vision. They pull out his eyes. Loss of vision. He's got no hair, no strength. You know, it symbolizes hopelessness, poverty, nothing. Then they put him to the grinder. You know, the grinder is something that you push and it goes around in a circle to crush wheat, to grind wheat. So they put him to a grinder and he has to do that every day. Symbolizes no direction. Going around in a circle, going nowhere. For any man, going in circles is the worst thing for men. Men with a vision become real men. Men with a vision are alive. Men without a vision are lost. Samson lost something special because he did not exercise discernment. We come to Joseph, finally. Last story. Joseph is a different kind of man because the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph and prospered him in whatever he did. Joseph is now the head of Potiphar's house. Whatever he touches in Potiphar's house prospers. He does so well. He's a man of integrity before God. One day Potiphar's wife sees this young man, Joseph, and calls him to sleep with her. Joseph, Joseph, come sleep with me. Potiphar is not there. Potiphar's wife sees the opportunity. This is my moment to sleep with this young man. Joseph, Joseph, come sleep with me. Lie with me. Now Joseph, in a natural mind, could have just thought to himself, if I don't do what she wants, she can make my life a living hell in this house. So we can live very secret kind of life. But Joseph is a different man. He discerns the will of God. He discerns his heart. Samson did not discern what was in his heart. Joseph discerned very correctly. You know what Joseph said to this woman? He said, how can I do such a thing and sin against my God? How can I do such a thing and sin against God? The Bible says he flees from that place. But not before Potiphar's wife grabs the robe that was around Job, grabs it off him as he begins to flee. Joseph is caught and thrown into prison. You might say, what's the use of discernment? What is the use of trying to do right before God? But that's not the end of the story. Because Joseph is thrown into prison, but he is elevated out of prison later and promoted to be prime minister. You see, when you make decisions based on good discernment, discernment that is led and guided by the Spirit of God and by what the Word is saying, let me tell you, even your choices, even if it leads you through dark places and hard times, God will one day elevate you and promote you. Sometimes, you know, like we try to take the easy route. So we say, oh, I just want to take the easy route. So we just look at the good and evil, but we say, no, if I take the good one, I'll suffer. So I'll just take this one. You don't realize, you know, Psalm 75 says, promotion does not come from the east or from the west, but it comes from the Lord. Bible says he sets one up and he puts down another. We should walk in such a fear of God, in such a reverence for God, in such a love for God, that whenever we make a decision, let's discern the situation correctly. Amen? So that when we make decisions correctly, so that God is honored. And when God is honored, promotion is coming. Amen? Sometimes we've had to make decisions, and I had to make it. I say, man, even if I lose some families from church, I'll make this decision. Why? Because it has to be made. When we discern the heart, when we discern the situation, that's a decision you have to make. I mean, I could have said, no, you know, we can't afford to lose, allow fear to control my decision. I say, no. We have to discern according to the will of God. If God wills something, we discern it and make the decision. But if we make a decision based on our comfort, on our ease and everything else, most likely you'll miss God's will. Amen, everyone. I'm especially speaking to leadership today. Discernment should be a necessary function of leadership. If you want to be a good leader, you must pray to the Lord. Lord, help me to discern things correctly. Lord, help me to have your wisdom. Not man's wisdom, your wisdom to discern things. With proper discernment, you can choose who you want to come and work for you, whom you want to work with, your friends, your relationships. You won't stumble into a group of friendship that you suffer later. Young people have to learn this also. Discernment is very important. Because if you make wrong choice of friends, you most likely will ruin your life. No, we've seen that happen over and over and over again. Good young people, promising young men, young women, make wrong decisions. Why? Because they did not discern their friends correctly. And they fell into problems. It's more harder to try to fix the problem than to prevent it. Amen? If you try to, if you just leave your children, okay, you can, go with your friends. This is a modern age. I tell you, for parents, it's harder to fix the issue because you have to go later and fix it up. Amen? Prevention is very important. So for, most of you with younger children, start talking to them. The importance of who your friends are, where you go, things like that. When they reach a certain age, it'll be very hard to control. And so you must train them in discernment while they're still young. Amen. Am I still with you this morning? Amen. It's no use, saying, God, deliver me from the devil. But you're just making any old choice. Amen. No. You and I are given the privilege of time. Time is so good. Why? Because we can spend time in prayer. You can spend every morning in prayer. And in the place of prayer, you can examine your friends. Examine your life. Examine your relationships, your work, your business. Examine it before the Lord. What decisions you'll have to make. Are you discerning the issues correctly? If you discern correctly, you'll hardly have any need to rebuke the devil. Amen. Many times we have to end up rebuking the devil because we've made wrong decisions based on wrong discernment. Discern ourselves well. It comes down to exercise, eating. Oh, Pastor, don't go there. All these things are so important. We have to discern what we put into our mouths. Amen. I'm not going to eat ice cream, Oh, did you know McDonald's got this pie with chocolate filling inside? It's the latest one. Chocolate filling. Oh, when I taste it, man, you know what? I make my plan now. Every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, I'll go to McDonald's. Why? Because I want the chocolate filling. But at the chocolate filling, I don't just stop there. Why? This chocolate filling is very small. You know that pie. So let's just have a milkshake. But if the milkshake is not enough, let's just put in a couple of fries together with it. So I'm not discerning the situation correctly. Budgeting money, I'm not discerning correctly. So when I get money, I spend money anyhow. Because I'm not discerning correctly. Discernment belongs to the mature. The mature person knows how to discern. Budgets, health, all these things are so important to the mature person. I very rarely have to go to Norman's house. Sorry, Norman. Very rarely have to go. You know why? Because he's mature. He doesn't have to, sorry, Brother Norman. He doesn't have to come to me and say, Pastor, I got money problems, Why? Because he discerned his money correctly. One time I got him to talk on budgeting. There are some people here, I don't have to visit them so much. Thomas and them, Lucy and John. Why? Because they're mature in their discernment. Amen? I'm not saying I don't want to visit you. Please don't get me wrong. I love to visit with you. Amen? Some of these guys I visit for a cup of tea from time to time. But the level of maturity is different. Amen? So we need to discern our friendships, relationships, our health. All these things need to be discerned correctly. Then you will find your life will become different. Your life will change. Hallelujah. You might say, Pastor, just in closing, Pastor, I'm already in a mess. How do I get out of it? Okay, let's just look quickly and then we'll close. In the book of Judges again, Judges chapter 16, this last verse, last few verses, 28 to 30. Judges 16, verse 28 to 30. Samson is now blind, he's pushing a grinder, he's struggling, no direction, he's depressed. Now is the last part of his life. In verse 28, notice what he says. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. He braced himself against them, one on the right, one on the left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might. And the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. What's the secret? Surrender. Everybody say surrender. I'm not talking about a temporary surrender. There are Christians today that only when they run into problems, they run to Jesus. Otherwise, I don't need Jesus. But notice what he said, "Let me die." That's the end of our commitment. It's something like marriage, amen? When you get married to your husband or to your wife, you don't say, you know, the pastor don't do the vows and say, "Will you be faithful for as long as you are happy?" What does he say? "Will you take this wife as long as you live," right? "Will you be faithful to her, to love her, to cherish her, to honor her, for as long as you both shall live," meaning till you die. That's our commitment to God, amen? So Samson made that commitment that very moment. He said, "Lord, remember me, surrender." But he said, "Let me die. Let me die." That means when I give my life to Jesus, I'm willing to die. That's a true commitment. And whatever mess you in, God will one day take you out. Slowly he will bring you out. It's a process that he brings you out. Sometimes the mess is so big, you'll almost lose hope. Don't worry. Surrender. Till you die. Tell the Lord, "Lord, I want to serve you till I die." That means I won't see you once in 6 months. Amen? Where's Brother Conan? He's not in church today. Where's Brother Conan? Oh, he's gone somewhere. Holiday. How long for? 6 months. No. It's till death. Amen? I'm committed to God till death. That kind of surrender, you see, God will honor. And it's a process he'll bring you out. He'll bring you out slowly but surely. Over a period of time, you'll see your life starts to change. Just as we heard Jonathan talk about something this morning. Your life will slowly but surely start to change.